This morning, our scripture is going to be from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 through 48. But before I get there to read the scripture, I want to offer a little bit about the background, about what's going on here and why this is important, because this particular passage is a sermon in itself. And just reading Acts 10, verses 34 through 48, or actually 34 through 43, is actually a sermon in itself. It's a sermon that Peter preaches to Cornelius and to a group of Gentiles gathered at Cornelius' house. And it's just really an impactful sermon. So I want to share those words just a little bit later. But what I want to talk about on the front side is what God is doing here. So we have Cornelius, who is a well-respected centurion, who is a Gentile. He has questions and he has a vision. And then over on the other side, we've got Peter, who is a disciple of Christ, who has continued to go on preaching the good news, proclaiming the good news to anybody who will listen, who was with Christ from the very beginning, one of the early disciples, and has continued to preach and perform miracles and to do the work of Jesus after Jesus has gone on and the Holy Spirit has come down. So we've got two people that are not supposed to be getting along. The Jews and the Gentiles did not get along at this time. As a matter of fact, it was actually illegal for them to visit each other in their houses. A Jewish person was not supposed to go into the house of a Gentile. But God, in the way that He works, He's always working both sides of the fence to try to bring people together for a reason. So He's working on Cornelius over here, and He sends a vision to Cornelius. Now Cornelius, again, is well respected, centurion, but he was a Gentile. He sent this vision to Cornelius, telling him that he needed to send somebody to get Peter, to bring Peter to his house to have a conversation. So Peter is one of his disciples of Christ, and so this problem here is their position on Jesus and what Jesus was and who Jesus was a different in a lot of ways. So even though Cornelius worshiped God, his position on Jesus was a little bit different. But God sent this vision to Cornelius, and Cornelius was obedient and said, "You need to send somebody to get Peter. He's over here. Bring him back. Y'all talk." So there was a level of obedience that happened, that obedience to God, where Cornelius sent to get Simon Peter. Well, then Peter, on the other hand, God had been working on him too. Peter had been having this vision from God that basically is saying that if I have proclaimed something clean, then you have no business, no right to judge it profane or to call it unclean. And that's over in Acts 10:15. It says, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." And so that's where Peter is having this dream, that is saying, if God says it's okay, then it's okay. And so Peter's had this vision. Cornelius has had this vision. Now all of a sudden, this person shows up at Peter and says, "We need you to come. We need you to come over here to meet with this Gentile named Cornelius." Well, Peter had a right to be a little bit nervous, because really, we're not too far removed from that time in which Jesus Christ had been crucified. Jesus was hung on the cross, tortured, died, and we know what all happened there. It really, in the whole scope of things, it really hasn't been that long, and Peter saw it. He knows what happened. So he had a right to be nervous. But also at the same time, we're in that place where Saul had been persecuting Christians, persecuting the church. But praise be to God, Saul has now converted, but there's still some questions. But the apostles, they've had a pretty rough time, because they've been persecuted. They've been flogged on several occasions because of their alliance with Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we've got Stephen. It hadn't been that long since he was arrested because of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and he was stoned to death. So you can imagine Peter, again, is probably a little bit nervous here. But the point is, we see obedience exercised on both sides of the fence. Through Cornelius, the obedience that Cornelius has for God, he sends somebody to get Peter. And through the obedience that Peter has for God, he follows God's call and goes where he is told to go, even though it may not be his first choice of places that he would visit. So when Peter gets there, there's a lot of stuff going on here. So when Peter gets there, he makes it pretty clear to Cornelius that there's obviously something going on here, and let's figure this out. So in the scripture of Acts 10, verses 28 to 29, Peter says to Cornelius, right up front, let's get this out of the way. He says, "You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. Now may I ask why you sent for me?" So right up front, Peter says, we're not supposed to do this. This is not supposed to happen, but God said it, so I'm going to do it. And by the way, I'm not supposed to judge, because God's already come to me and he said, if I said it's okay, then it's okay. And what Peter is referencing is that vision that he had in Acts 10:15, which says, "What God has made clean, you shall not profane." So then Cornelius explains his dream, he saw this vision, that God said to send for you. So what we're seeing here is that God has a plan, and he wants to work through two very different people to make something happen, to cause change in this community that they're living in. And instead of just working on one side, he's working on both sides. He is preparing a heart over here, and he's preparing a heart over here. He causes this meeting that is not chance. He causes it to take place, and then some pretty powerful things happen. Both men had visions from the same God, even though they were different people. Both men had visions from the same God calling to them this place together. So what do you think is going to happen when this meeting takes place? Well, Peter, being the good disciple that he is, he begins to preach. He says, that's what I'm called to do. I'm here, and that's what I'm going to do. He begins to preach, and boy, does he lay it out there. He lays it out there in a way that is extremely powerful, that there is no doubt Cornelius and everybody around understands what's being said. And you see, God had prepared the heart of Cornelius, because Cornelius knew something big had to come out of this. So Cornelius called everybody and said, y'all need to come over here. Y'all need to come over here, because Peter is coming. And these things are going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen, but Peter is coming here. And so when Peter got there, first Cornelius fell down in front of him because God had called him. But then Peter said, no, I'm just a mortal like you are. But here's the truth. And the truth is in Jesus Christ. And he begins to preach it. So it would be like the most powerful service that we have witnessed in our lives. Everybody's coming to the altar. People that have not been baptized or not accepted Christ. Well, that's happening. Everybody's crying. People are hugging on each other and loving on each other. And there are no differences. Everybody's getting along, because the Holy Spirit has come into this particular place and made everybody see with the same heart, a heart that was created in the image of God and by God, not a heart that was created a Jew or a heart that was created a Gentile, but a heart that was created in the image of God. We'll go all the way back to Genesis 1 to see that we're created in the image of God. We're molded by the potter who is our God, our Father. And we see the love of Jesus Christ, that God loved us so much that he offered his son Jesus Christ for this world. This is the type of message that Peter preaches. And he preaches it with so much power that people realize that, you know, we're spending too much time thinking about our differences. Can we not focus on the fact that we have received the same Holy Spirit? And boy, do I wish that I could preach like Peter did. I mean, Peter, in just a few verses, preaches a more powerful sermon than I could ever imagine preaching. And God's will was carried out because of that. So what I want you to do now is to hear the word of God as offered by Peter in the book of Acts. Starting with chapter 10, verses 34 through 48. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. Everyone. You know the message that He sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The message spread through Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And how He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. We are witnesses to all that He did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put Him to death by hanging Him on a tree, but God raised Him on that third day and allowed Him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one ordained by God as the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about Him. That everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sin through His name. And while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter said, and this is a loaded statement here. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So when we hear these words and what Peter is offering, he's preaching what he knows. He's preaching what he's seen. He's preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. That He is the Son of God. And that He lived and died and was resurrected. The grave couldn't hold Him. Death couldn't conquer Him, that He rose up above death, and they saw what Jesus done. And they knew what it meant to be a disciple of Christ, and they knew what love was being shown by an unconditional love by God as He offered His Son, Jesus Christ, His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have an everlasting life. And Peter references that He was not made visible to everyone when He first came back. He was made visible to those that believe. So to all who believe in Him shall not perish but have an everlasting life. For this very reason is what Jesus Christ lived, died, and was resurrected. And this is what Peter is offering, is that good news, is that Christ died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, and that He is your Savior. And that when you believe in Him, life can be different. When you believe in Him, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile. There is no black, there is no white, there is no different, that you are created by the same hands, the same God, and we have received the same Holy Spirit. This is what Peter is saying. And then like any good sermon, he asks a hard question. He asks a question that gets him in a little bit of trouble later. It says, can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And what he's doing is calling into question, why are we so set on pointing out differences rather than focusing on the same Holy Spirit that we each have received? I mean, these were Jews and Gentiles. They didn't get along. It was illegal for them to associate with each other. But in this place, this time, that was specifically set apart by God for a reason. He was working on Cornelius. He was working on Peter. And he's going to work on the Jerusalem church in a minute. But in this place and in this time, he brought these people together, united, undivided, receiving the same Spirit and worshiping the same God. And in the middle of it, Peter made that statement, a bold statement about withholding the waters of baptism. And it got a lot of attention. But it made people ask questions of themselves. And what he did is he makes it a point to basically say, who are we? I mean, no, so Israel means those chosen by God. I mean, it was not a nation to start off with. It means those chosen by God. Who are we to withhold the waters of baptism? Who are we to hold the Holy Spirit captive from those that are different than we are? Because if we go back, we're all created in the image of God. And God says, love God and love neighbor. Who's our neighbor? And Peter is saying here, he's stepping on some toes. I mean, this is one of those steel-toed kind of sermons for the people then. He's stepping on toes. Who are we to hold the waters of baptism? Who are we to hold the Holy Spirit captive from those that are not Jews? Think about that for a minute. And think about what that means. Now that Peter got everybody's attention, he returned to Jerusalem, to the church of Jerusalem. And the people there said, what were you thinking? I mean, you went into the home of a Gentile. Not only is that wrong from our societal norm, but it's illegal. But this is where God shows up again in full force, just like God does. God didn't leave Peter alone in this situation. God showed himself, his presence again. He's already made his presence known over here. Holy Spirit come upon everybody, and everybody was on the same sheet and loving each other. But then Peter has to explain himself before the church. And he starts it. He starts to tell them. And then the Holy Spirit comes into their midst, silencing the questions that they had. And then Peter just summed it up really well by saying, who am I? Who am I to do this? In Acts 10, verses 16 through 18. And so Peter says, and this is one of those that will make you really think. He says, and I remembered the word of the Lord. So he's making reference to the scripture. He was taught. He remembers. He knows it. I remember the word of the Lord. And how he had said, how the Lord had said, that John baptized with water. But you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so here's the question. If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? And when they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. Who are we to hinder God? Who are we to withhold the waters of baptism? Who are we to say that you can have the Holy Spirit and you can't? That's not our choice. I mean, Jesus came to be the judge of the living and dead, not us. Jesus came to decide who's going to get the Spirit, not us. So who are we to hinder God? I mean, God was working on Cornelius. God was working on Peter. Who are we to hinder that? God had a plan. So who are we to hinder? Who is Peter to hinder? By saying he wasn't going to preach to the Gentiles. God sent him there to preach, and preach he did, and it made a difference. And when we go out here as a body of Christ, as Christians, as people of God, who are we to hinder what God is doing? We don't question, we do, we go. And in the midst of our uncertainties, and in the midst of our uncommon situation we might find ourselves in, that we do what Peter did. We tell people what we know. We tell people what we've seen. And in that, we have released from captivity the Holy Spirit, and we have released from captivity the waters of baptism to which we have no authority over. Who are we to hinder God? Think about it. Read about it. Pray it, because God is still speaking to us today. He's still got something figured out that we don't. Just like he did with Cornelius and Peter. He's working on some things, and we're just part of that plan. And we need to make ourselves to be available to be part of that plan. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.